On Siren Radio, you're listening to From Mountains to Molecules with Josephine Westlake and friends.
Hello and welcome to this special third edition of From Mountains to Molecules, because today we have guest presenters. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Annalise and I'm in Year 9 at secondary school.
I'm Mattia and I'm just starting secondary school in Year 7.
And I'm Brendan and I'm in Year 4 at junior school.
And for those who don't know me, I'm Josephine Westlake, a PhD student in the School of Geography. And with us is our awesome producer, Alex Luchek. Say hi, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Today's special edition focuses on science in schools, what is taught and what should be taught, and what would make it school even more fun than it already is. What better than to kick things off with an old school classic?
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
The next section for today is science in the news. Huge fires are burning in the Amazon rainforest. Lots of people are worried about what's happening there. There have been over 72,000 forest fires detected. That's the highest number of fires in the area since records began in 2013. They're so huge they can be seen from space. Latest update is that international leaders gathered yesterday at the G7 conference, an annual meeting between the leaders of the seven most powerful countries in the world, which includes the UK. They've called for more to be done and offered $20 million to be spent on putting out the fires and better protection of the rainforest in the future. But the Brazilian government is rejecting the efforts, saying the rest of the world shouldn't interfere or tell Brazil how to solve its own problems. So, guys, what do you think about this story?
I think that it's a bit suspicious that the Brazilian government isn't letting anybody help them. All they're doing is trying to provide them with stuff to help the rainforest and not burned down, yet they're still refusing help? Are they just stubborn?
If Brazil doesn't want help, and everybody else is trying to help them, sometimes you should just let them do their own thing, and if they ask for help, then you can give it, because you've offered it, and then you, at any time, you can just give them help when they need it.
Okay, so the interesting thing about this is sort of why the fires are happening. So the president has actually suggested that they're being set on purpose to discredit the government, is one theory that he's put forward, but he's got no evidence for that at the moment. The other thing is that some people think the fires have been set by logging companies or farmers who are wanting to clear large areas of land. The fires have been burning for more than a month, and the dry season means that they're spreading a lot faster than normal. What do you think this damage this is doing to the environment then, guys?
Well, the rainforest is one of the biggest forests in the world, and it's home to many other creatures. And it's like someone's just... Imagine someone was taking our home from us. That's what they're doing to them.
So you're worried about the animals and losing their homes. You've obviously got the native people there as well who live in the...
Tribes.
And... Yeah, who live in the rainforest. Anna, what about you? What do you know about the effects of forest fires?
I feel like some forest fires, like natural forest fires, are usually okay, seeing as the environment recovers from it. But if the Brazilian government's right, or if it has been set by actual people, then it could have drastic effects to the environment, as the fire would produce CO2, which is a greenhouse gas, which would probably speed up global warming or something.
Right, yeah, we already have a problem there with climate change. Okay, so that's an interesting story. You can find a lot more about that on the news, but we've got another one to think about here. So, how to design a Mars-proof robot. So the ExoMars rover is the first to be specifically designed to find evidence of past or present life on Mars. It's due to land on the planet in 2021. It's being built right now by a team of scientists and will drill deep down below the planet's surface. They say a lot goes into making it capable of surviving Mars. So my question to you is, have you ever wondered whether life exists on Mars? Brendan, have you ever wondered whether life exists on Mars?
No,
you've not been interested. Do you think there's life on Mars?
No.
Do you think there's life anywhere apart from on Earth?
Yeah.
You do? Where do you think there's life?
Jupiter?
You think there's life on Jupiter? Wow, that would be amazing. We haven't been to Jupiter yet, have we? So we've only looked at it from the sky. We can't really see it.
Yeah.
Anna, what about you?
If there is life on Mars, I wouldn't be shocked, seeing as we probably brought it there, like we did with those water bears. But
tardigrades in space.
Tardigrades in space. But if there is life that has been on Mars for a while, again, I wouldn't be surprised, seeing as it's suspected to have old river channels on there, so you never know.
Okay, Matteo, what sort of things do you think you'd have to think about if you were told to design a rover looking for life on another planet?
Make sure it can stay to the ground. I have seen the rover on the news, and it's the wheels are a small digger diggers, and for it to stay on the ground, they rotate outwards and go underground. So it can stay on the ground and dig at the same time.
So it's got special wheels that allow it to do that. That's fantastic. Anna, what about you? What do you think you need to do to think about building one of these rovers?
Kind of similar to staying onto the ground. I feel like you should concentrate a lot on the gravity of the planet or wherever you're going onto. So let's say you were going to a really, really, really... really strong gravity planet, then you got to make sure that the rover doesn't get crushed to death or something.
Right. Right, so it would have to be really strong to deal with that gravity. They had that problem when they sent them to Venus, not because of the gravity, but because of the atmospheric pressure, because it's so dense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Brendan, what do you think then? You were saying you wanted to talk more about this extraterrestrial life. What do you think? Do you think we'll ever find any, and what do you think it will be like?
I don't know.
You don't know. Do you think it will look like you?
No.
You don't think it will look like you? What do you think it will look like?
I don't know.
Anna, what do you think?
Maybe like some kind of microorganism or something. Like maybe just regular old bacteria.
So you don't think like what we class as intelligent life?
There's probably intelligent life somewhere in the universe.
What do you think, Matea?
We say intelligent, but sometimes... I feel like if we do find it, it might be intelligent, but it also might be dumb.
It might be dumb, but intelligent. So very different from us, basically.
Yes.
You don't think we're going to find, like...
No, we're pretty dumb. Okay. We're dumb, but intelligent.
Okay, the last bit of this, then, is looking at the image. Now, this is a fantastic thing for radio, because obviously you can see the image. But if you haven't found it, if you type in rabbit or raven into your search engine, you will be able to find this image.
Or go to the Facebook page that you have already up online for From Mountains to Molecules.
Exactly. If you go to the Facebook page, we will upload this image for you to have a look at. So look closely and tell us, is this a rabbit or a raven? So, Brendan, what do you think this is? Do you think this is a rabbit or a raven?
A rabbit.
Anna?
I think it's a rabbit.
Matea?
I think it's a rabbit as well.
Okay, well, this clip of the mystery animal being stroked was shared on Twitter with the caption, "Rabbits love getting stroked on their nose." And it left lots of people scratching their heads. So far, more than 11 million people have watched the video, with more than 80,000 people liking it. The poster says it reminds him of another optical illusion well known among psychologists involving a bird and a rabbit. It's actually a raven, a white-necked raven called Mischief, to be precise.
Why does it look like its neck's been broken?
It doesn't. So it's got its head tilted back, and that's its beak up in the air. So that's why it's called that.
Mummy, I thought more of raven.
Okay, so next bit then is... For many, getting involved in this debate is something that we can't resist. So if that sounds like you, then why not look at our Facebook page to find some more optical illusions.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. This moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Our next section is to do with science in schools, and our special presenters today are going to ask and answer some questions about how they feel about science in schools and what they're looking forward to.
So, Brendan, you've had an interesting education. What are the things you've learned in school science so far?
Plants.
And what have you learnt about plants? What do plants need? Can you remember?
Some water, some light, and some air.
And some air, they do. Fantastic.
What are you most looking forward to over the next year?
I really like astrophysics because I'm just interested in the different formations of the planets and how odd ours was.
Yeah, we were looking at exoplanets, weren't we, when we went to the science presentations?
So yeah.
That was really interesting. Matteo, what about you? What are you looking forward to over the next year?
I'm looking forward to German.
German's not in science.
Physics.
Physics. You like physics. What do you like about physics?
I like chemistry as well, but physics. I like the idea of mixing other sciences together. And physics is
You like being able to put the different things together, so putting the chemistry, so you've got the atoms and things, and then obviously if you're looking at physics, you can look at that more closely, looking at the electrons.
Yeah.
And then maybe looking at biology, you put all that together and you create these wonderful living organisms and this idea about where does life begin and chemistry start.
And sprinkle a bit of maths in there for just for good luck.
Just for good luck, a little bit of maths. Okay, then, so out of those, Matteo, what's your favourite science then? Is it physics?
Chemistry
is your favourite. Fantastic. Anna, what about you?
I'd have to say physics.
You'd have to say physics. Brendan, do you like the stuff about the plants, or do you like the chemicals, or do you like talking about movement and space and stuff? Which one do you like best? You don't know. Well, you haven't even done that yet, have you? So, I mean, this is quite an interesting thing to talk about. So the difference between what Brendan learns at school. So, Brendan, at school, you do just science, don't you, where you learn everything all together. And that's what you've been doing so far, isn't it?
Yes.
So, but you're looking forward to learning the separate sciences?
Yes.
That's going to be good. And Annie, you've been learning separate sciences since year 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think it's better to start with separate sciences quite early, or do you think you should wait until, you know, GCSE before you split the sciences?
I think it's better because otherwise you don't really get used to it, and a lot of it is biology rather than any of the other two. So it just kind of makes you look at science kind of in all one, like, ball, even though there are different categories which you can choose from. It gives you more options.
And what about being taught by the different teachers? Because obviously each teacher has their own specialism, so you'll have a biology teacher be teaching you biology, chemistry teaching you chemistry, and physics teaching you physics. Do you think that makes a difference, or do you think it wouldn't make a difference? Do you think it would be fine?
I think I really like the fact, I really love all the different teachers, especially the science ones. They're always really interesting. And I feel like it's better because otherwise you might just, if you have just one teacher, there's a high chance that if this teacher ends up being one that you struggle to learn with or understand, you don't have any other choice. Whereas if you have three separate subjects, there's always a good chance that at least one of them will teach you really well.
And do you think they're more enthusiastic about the subject as well?
Yeah.
If it's their own subject, yeah. Well, that actually leads on to the next question then. So, Matteo, what do you think the best science teacher in the world would be like?
Well, there have been many, but the best science teacher in the world would be enthusiastic, know a lot about every subject, chemistry, biology, physics, and when you put them all into one teacher, you think, oh, this teacher's really great, I think I'd like to learn with them, because sometimes you get really bad teachers for one subject and then you think, oh, this is my favourite subject, and now it's not because of this teacher being...
So one teacher might make you not actually keen on that subject.
Yeah.
So perhaps you have a teacher who teaches biology or chemistry teaching you physics and they're not very enthusiastic, could actually put you off learning physics, for example. That's really, really interesting. So, Brendan, have you got any really nice teachers that you wanted to mention who teach you stuff about science? No? No, do you not want to tell them about your favourite teachers? No, you've gone quiet now. Okay, Anna, what about you? You were telling me in the car about this fantastic mythical teacher that you were inventing. Who are these teachers that you would smush together to make perfect teacher?
Okay, so I haven't really met most of my science teachers, so I'm going to use like the three ones that I had last year. They're brilliant teachers. Like, just take all of their personalities, that is the perfect teacher. They all have their special individual thing that makes it really, really easy to learn from them.
Okay, explain.
So, okay, this perfect teacher would have to have a dollop of craziness. I don't think you can have a science teacher without a kind of extraordinary dollop of just individuality.
And which teacher is this that you're referring to?
Okay, so I may be referring to my physics teacher, but she's really, really cool. I really, really like the way she teaches. Our chemistry teacher, he has a kind of sarcastic kind of personality, but he relates a lot to all of us. And the kind of jokes he makes helps it and makes it easier to learn. And it just makes us more engaged. And then our biology teacher, she's always calm and she is always able to explain everything in a kind of neat manner and get everyone to listen despite them being the most... I've got to admit, they are pretty crazy form.
Okay, then. So what about you, Mateo? So what are you thinking about in terms of learning at the next level? Because you're moving from primary school into secondary school in literally about a week. What are you really looking forward to about learning science in secondary schools?
I'm looking forward to meeting new teachers, hopefully better ones than I've had in the past. And I look forward to the different subjects because I've been looking forward to chemistry and physics. Not so much biology, but I'd like to learn it as well.
That's really good. And what about the classrooms? Because obviously you'll have a very different classroom now, won't you, for learning science, especially chemistry. So in terms of going into an actual laboratory, what are you thinking about that? Is that quite exciting?
I've been in one before, but we're going to be doing in different ones with different equipment and more equipment than I have in the past.
Bunsen burners.
Yep.
It's the thing that everybody looks forward to, Bunsen burners, isn't it?
We've done that as well, and we've made screaming jelly babies.
Ah, screaming jelly babies, fantastic experiment. Anna, what about you then? So obviously you're going to be studying GCSEs for a little while now. But what about moving on into A-levels? Have you thought about what sort of subjects you'd like to do in A-levels? Have you got any science subjects you'd want to do, or are you looking at doing some more arty sort of stuff?
I kind of like to do a bit of a combination of both. I'm not particularly good at the arts, but I find them interesting, almost as interesting as the different sciences. But if I get the opportunity to do both, then I'll definitely take it.
Okay, so have you got any specific subjects you'd like to do?
Maybe geography, physics, maths, obviously.
Yeah, so those are the three sort of sciences you're looking at the moment.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay then, well, moving on, we thought we'd have another school-related song in a roundabout way. So we have some Panic at the Disco for you. Thank you.
imagine as I'm pacing the pews in the church corridor. I can't help but to hear, no, I can't help but to hear an exchanging of words. What a beautiful wedding, what a beautiful wedding, says the bridesmaid too. Oh yes, but what a shame, the poor groom's bride is a... I dive in, the haven't you people ever heard of? Losing a contest or no, it's much better to face these kinds of things. With a sense of force and rationality, I dive in, haven't you people ever heard of? Get it this way, I mean technically our marriage is safe. And this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne. Oh, hold it fast. Well, I'll look at it this way, I mean technically our marriage is safe. And this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne
part of this now is going to be a would you rather section, I'm sure. So, would you rather questions to these three. Let's see what they think. So, guys, would you rather discover the entire Earth or go into space? Brendan, what do you think?
Discover the entire Earth.
Anna?
Well, if you're discovering the entire Earth, aren't you already in space?
Good point. Mateo?
Space, because then you can go around the Earth and discover the Earth.
Okay, so you've all got interesting reasons behind that. Okay, would you rather travel to the future or travel to the past? Brendan?
To the future.
To the past, because no one's figured out how to do that yet.
To the past.
Why to the past, Mateo?
Because then I can change the parliament, so no Brexit, and so I can find out Einstein's theory and meet him in person.
Oh, fantastic. So, Brendan, what about you? Why would you want to go to the future? What do you want to see in the future?
So I can see what's going to happen in the future, and when I exit the future, I know what's going to happen.
Oh, so you can put lots of bets on the horses and stuff and win lots of money. Okay, another one. Would you rather have the eyesight of an owl or have the hearing of a bat? Mateo, let's start with you.
The hearing of a bat.
Anna?
Eyesight of an owl.
Brendan? Eyesight of an owl or hearing of a bat?
Eyesight of an owl.
And why would you like the eyesight of an owl, Brendan?
Because I already have really good ears.
Ah, your ears are really good. Anna, what about you?
I don't want to have to hear everything all of the time.
Good reason. All right, another, some more sciencey related ones. So would you rather discover a cure for cancer or discover a hidden colony of unicorns?
Cure for cancer.
Cure for cancer, Anna?
Unicorns.
Unicorns. Brendan?
Cure for cancer.
Oh, fantastic. Why would you want the cure for cancer then, Mateo?
Because then I can save the world.
Oh, that's high aspirations there. Anna, what's with the unicorns?
I'm going to enslave them all.
Okay, let's move on.
My army of unicorns will dominate the world.
Here we have another would you rather. Would you rather let out farts that are toxic or spit out acid that is poisonous? This is Pokemon related. Which one would you rather be?
I'd rather not be rude and spit out acid.
You're spitting out acid that's poisonous. Okay, Anna, what about you?
Acid.
Acid, Brendan?
Poison.
Poisonous acid. Okay, so we're all going with the poisonous acid rather than the toxic farts. That's probably better. Okay, so going back to your question that you had before, would you rather have lunch with Albert Einstein or lunch with Isaac Newton?
Really? That's a hard decision.
Anna, what do you think?
Albert Einstein any day.
Why Albert Einstein over Isaac Newton?
From what I've read about him, Isaac Newton wasn't the nicest person in the world.
No, he was a little bit strange, wasn't he? He wasn't very sociable.
Yeah, he did talk. If people didn't turn up to his lectures, he would talk to an empty room, so...
Brendan, do you know who those two people are?
No.
No, you don't know who they are. Wow, you're going to have to do some reading when you get home, aren't you? Yeah, Mateo.
Okay, I'd rather choose Albert Einstein, so I can see his theory of the black hole.
Fantastic. Okay. Would you rather slow down Earth's rotation to make days longer or speed up Earth's rotation to make days shorter? Anna?
I prefer not to kill everyone.
Why do you say that?
Speeding up the... there's a reason why the Earth rotates like this, and I don't want to ruin that, but I will speed it up so that I don't have to deal with school as much.
So you'll have it less time in school during the day?
Hopefully.
Mateo?
Am I allowed to slow down the holidays and speed up school?
So you want to, like, change it each part of the year. Okay. Would you rather... Oh, sorry, Brendan, what would you like to say?
Speed it up.
Why would you want to speed it up?
So even if we change it, we still can get enough sleep.
Okay, so you think...
But if you slow it down, you won't get enough sleep.
Okay, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. Would you rather have a world with 50% more friction or 50% less friction? Mateo?
Well, if you have 50% more friction, then the Earth's going to slow down, so...
Ah, so you're thinking that the Earth will actually slow down because of the more friction?
Yeah, so I'd go with more friction.
More friction, yeah, Anna?
I'd go with more friction so that we can all invent hover cars sooner.
Okay, I'd go with less friction because I think it'd be really cool to just, like, slide down the pavement.
But what
to get
if you're, like, trying to do rock climbing and then it's just like, I can't grab onto these things.
Yeah, rock climbing might be an issue.
Bye.
Okay, we have one more Would You Rather, and then we're moving on to our very popular section of the show. So, Would You Rather be a scientist laughed at and discredited for your correct theory until after your death, or be a scientist with an incorrect theory and have it widely accepted and praised while you are alive? Anna, what do you reckon?
I don't want to be known for being wrong, so I'm going to be known for being correct.
You're going to be known for being correct. So even though everybody, while you were alive, thought you were wrong.
Well, I know that I'm right, so joke's on them.
I go with being correct all my life, and then people realising that they've been dumb and not thought because I'm the smart one. So, yeah.
Okay, Brendan, what about you? Do you think you'd rather have a correct theory but everybody think you were wrong while you were alive, or do you think you'd rather have an incorrect theory but everybody think you were right?
Correct.
You'd rather have a correct theory. You'd rather be right all the time, wouldn't you, really? You don't like being wrong. Okay, so moving on to the next very fantastic section of our show, which is called Fact or Alternative Fact. So I'm going to present to you three facts or alternative facts. One of them is a true fact. Two of them are alternative facts. You need to decide which one you think is the actual fact. So, first fact or alternative fact. Number one, we only use 10% of our brains. So number one, we only use 10% of our brains. Number two, polar bears are nearly undetectable by infrared cameras. Polar bears are nearly undetectable by infrared cameras. Or number three, lightning never strikes the same place twice. So number three is lightning never strikes the same place twice. So have a little discussion amongst yourselves. What do you reckon? Do you think we only use 10% of our brains? Do you think that polar bears are nearly undetectable by infrared cameras? Or do you think that lightning never strikes the same place twice?
Well, polar bears are designed to survive the extreme cold. So if they can't be seen on infrared cameras, then they're cold-blooded, but they're they're not, they're warm-blooded.
Okay, that's interesting. Anna, what about you? What are your thoughts on these?
Okay, when I heard the one about the lightning, I remember reading that somewhere. And the one about using 10% of our brain, when I went to Newton Academy, which is something that's held at the University of Lincoln, I'm pretty sure that they told us that that was incorrect. So I'm going to have to go with number three on this one.
So number three being lightning never strikes the same place twice. What about you?
I'm going with number three as well, because we use 20% of our brains, because 80% of our brain is water.
Oh, interesting. Brendan, which one do you think is right? Do you think it's that we only use 10% of our brain, the polar bears thing, or the lightning thing? Which one do you think is correct?
What's the polar bear one?
Polar bear one is it can't be seen by a camera, like an infrared camera detecting heat. What do you reckon?
Lightning.
You think lightning. So, okay, three for lightning then, okay. Well, let's take them in order. So we only use 10% of our brains. It's actually true that we don't know a lot about the brain, but we certainly do know we use our entire brain. We have tons of data showing the 10% figure is completely false, but it also makes no logical sense. It is extremely unlikely that the brain would have evolved as it did if it was mostly useless. While you might not be using every bit of your brain at all times, you do use the entire brain over the course of the day. Additionally, there's no evidence that someone was ever diagnosed with a brain tumour, but was told, great news, the tumour is in part you don't use.
True.
Infrared cameras and polar bears. Infrared cameras detect heat lost by a body, but polar bears are experts at conserving heat, keeping warm due to a thick layer of blubber under the skin and a dense fur coat. So polar bears are almost undetectable by infrared cameras, because they don't release the heat to be picked up by the camera lens.
But yeah, but it's almost.
Yeah, almost.
So they are detected.
Yeah, so...
Nearly undetectable. That was the question. Okay, so the last bit. Lightning never strikes the same place twice. It's a common saying, meaning that if something bad happened once, it can't happen again. Unfortunately, lightning isn't particularly interested in whether or not where it's going to hit has been hit before. Tall objects like trees are more likely to be hit because there is a shorter distance between that and where the lightning starts. The tallest tree in a forest can get struck several times until the storm passes. Not only that, but NASA found that in 2003, over one third of lightning branched and hit multiple locations at once. So not only does lightning strike twice, but it can also strike two places at the same time.
Actually, now I think about it, the Hunger Games, the tree got struck so many times.
I should have thought of that.
Yeah, but there isn't there an atom, like, more than an atom distance, so technically it's not in the same place.
And now, ASAP Science presents the elements of the periodic table.
There's hydrogen and helium, then lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon everywhere, nitrogen all through the air, with oxygen so you can breathe, in fluorine for your pretty teeth, neon to light up the signs, sodium for salty times,
magnesium,
aluminium, silicon,
phosphorus,
then sulfur, chlorine, then argon,
potassium,
and calcium so you'll grow strong,
scandium,
titanium, vanadium, and chromium, and manganese. This is the periodic table, noble gas is stable, halogens and alkali react aggressively. Each period we'll see new outer shells, while electrons are added, moving to the right. Iron is the 26th, and cobalt, nickel coins you get, copper, zinc, and gallium, germanium, and arsenic, selenium, and bromine film, while krypton helps light up your room, rubidium, and strontium, then yttrium, zirconium,
niobium,
molybdenum, technetium,
ruthenium,
rhodium, palladium,
silverware,
then cadmium, and indium,
tin cans,
antimony, then tellurium, and iodine, and xenon, and then cesium, and...
Barium is 56, and this is where the table splits, where lanthanides have just begun. Lanthanum, cerium, and praseodymium. Neodymium's next to promethium, then 62, samarium, europium, gadolinium, and terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulium, ytterbium, lutetium.
Hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, then we're on to rhenium, osmium, and iridium, platinum, gold, to make you rich till you grow old, mercury, to tell you when it's really cold,
thallium,
and lead, the bismuth for your tummy,
polonium,
astatine would not be yummy,
radon,
francium will last a little time,
radium,
then actinize at 89. This is the periodic table, noble gas is stable, halogens and alkali react aggressively. Each period we'll see new outer shells, but electrons are to the right.
Actinium, thorium, protactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, berkelium, californium, isonium, fermium, and olivium, nobelium, lawrenceium, rutherfordium, wm, cerium, borium, hessium, lumetnerium, darcidium, ruthenium, copper, dysium,
nihonium, flerovium, moscovium, livermorium, tennessine, and organesson. And then we're done.
Thank you to our guests Annalise, Matea and Brendan for presenting today, and our producer Alex. I will leave the kids to read out our quote of the month.
Two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity.
And I'm not sure about the universe. Albert Einstein.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, if I may digress momentarily from the mainstream of this evening's symposium, I'd like to sing a song which is completely pointless, but is something which I picked up during my career as a scientist. This may prove useful to some of you someday, perhaps, in a somewhat bizarre set of circumstances. It's simply the names of the chemical elements set to a possibly recognizable tune. Arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium. There's yttrium, ytterbium, actinium, rubidium, boron, gadolinium, niobium, iridium, and strontium, and silicon, and silver, and samarium, and bismuth, bromine, lithium, beryllium, and barium. Isn't that interesting? I knew you would. I hope you're all taking notes, because there's going to be a short quiz next period. There's holmium and helium and hafnium and erbium and phosphorus and francium and fluorine and terbium and manganese and mercury, molybdenum and magnesium, dysprosium and scandium and cerium and cesium and lead, praseodymium and platinum and plutonium, palladium, promethium, potassium, polonium, and tantalum, technetium, titanium, tellurium, and cadmium and calcium and chromium and curium. There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, einsteinium, nobelium, and argon, krypton, radon, xenon, zinc, and rhodium, and chlorine, carbon, cobalt, copper, tungsten, tin, and sodium. These are the only ones of which the news has come to Harvard. And there may be many others, but they haven't been discovered.
On Siren Radio, you're listening to From Mountains to Molecules with Josephine Westlake and friends.
Why don't you play us a tune? I don't like music. monsters came and
flush him out.
Gangland's laying on the ground. New identity must be found. On the left hand for a while. Insanity, bohemian style. Dressed out in Red Riding Hood, bad habit, taking life, a calling card, a six-inch knife, ran off really fast, mumbled something about the past, best sex I've ever seen, as if each moment was a loss, drops of blood, color side, funeral for his bride, but it's him who's really dead, gets to take the funeral ride.
Scratch my head and wonder why.
Time slides into time across an astral dateline. Scientist eats bubblegum. Hall of Fame baseball. Senators a hoodlum. Big Chiefs in a hall.
Sometimes notions get reversed, center of the universe.